Hello, you are listening to the Local Music Revolution. I am your host, Ogre. On this episode, I talk to Matt Macedo and Berto Rileo. Matt is the writer, director, and mastermind behind Macedo Productions out of Hanford, California. Berto is the leading actor of Matt's new film, Drug of Choice. We talk to them about writing and filming the movie, how Matt decided to use a local band's song in the film, Matt's previous movies, and of course, we get into music discussion. The conversation with these guys was a blast. I cannot wait to see what they are going to do with the movie. Their ambition is infectious, and I truly hope that they go far in what they do. Let's get started. Drug of Choice coming out of Hanford. How you guys doing?
Good.
Firstly, I want you to go through, do you have a release date for this movie?
Currently, right now, no. We're going to be having a private premiere just for the cast and crew March 21st at the Hanford Civic Auditorium, and it's just for the cast and crew, but actually after that, we're going to be shipping this film off to film festivals all around the country, hopefully probably all around the world. And as soon as that's done, then that's when we'll be able to sell DVDs of it, and then that's when we'll be able to actually have a public premiere.
That's great, man. That's really good to hear. How long did it take you guys to film it and get everything ready?
Man, this project has been in the works for well over a year. Late 2013, began writing the script, and I actually got inspiration from the music video of Alice in Chains' Junkhead.
Really?
There's a little quote in that song that says, "What's my drug of choice?" So obviously that ends the title, and that song is just so brutal, you know, and I get the whole idea of statistics of drug use, what's going on right now. Obviously, it's a need that has to happen, so I just hit the nail on the head, took to writing to it. As soon as I was done, it actually hit the ground running. Contacted a casting agency in Fresno, got everything casted, filmed it for the whole year, and now it's completely done. Couldn't be more excited.
So did you write chunks of it when you started writing the script, or did you how'd you work on that?
You know, it's funny. It actually all flowed together as one. When writing it, it became its own thing.
Wow, man, that's that very rarely happens. Congratulations.
Yeah,
man.
Very rarely happens. Usually, whenever I'm writing a script, or a story or anything, I usually have the beginning and end in mind, and then the middle just happens, but this time it just flowed all together as one piece.
All right, man. Can you talk about the actors working on the film? Can you introduce them and tell them or tell us about the parts they play?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a main character. His name is Berto Rileo, and he's actually here with me. Hey guys, what's up?
What's up, man?
And he's the main character. He plays Cash. His drug of choice is heroin. So basically, starts off with the film, and which you can see in the trailer, him lying on a pair of railroad tracks, basically, you know, getting ready to end his life. And then we have, which is his best friend. His name is David Longoria. He's not here right now, but he plays Berto's best friend in the film. His name is DJ, and he's basically his dealer, you know, in the project. After that, we have an actress by the name of Brittany Smith, based out of Hanford. She she did amazing. She not only was just an actress in the film playing an escort, she also was my secretary. She helped me with behind-the-scenes stuff. She did makeup. She did hair. She was awesome. On top of that, I worked through K Agency in Fresno, K Model and Talent Agency. We got multiple people casted. We got a kid by the name of Javier Perez. He plays Hash in a flashback, so the younger version of Hash. I mean, brilliant actor, too. His scene in the film just makes everybody cry. Brilliant guy. So after that, yeah, I mean, just a multitude of extras and all that.
All right, man. So back to writing this. I read all the bios and anything I can get my hands on. And one of the things I wanted to know, it's about heroin and everything, but have you ever actually gone through and known somebody to do this or done it yourself or anything like that? I mean, you're touching on really, really heavy subjects. You had to pull it from somewhere. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I myself never done any sort of drug. Now, however, a multiple of actors on the film itself were recovered drug addicts, and during scenes, they would give us pointers on what to do, how this is most realistic, how they even set up themselves when doing this. And for example, during a scene of when the main character is about to shoot up heroin, the actor who told us how this should be set up couldn't even be in the same room with us because it was so lifelike, and that could actually be a trigger for him.
Wow, man, that's brutal.
And then on top of that, I worked through Champions Recovery here in Kings County. So we had people telling us, what happened to them when they were going through it. Luckily, they're recovered now, But it's very brutal, very, very lifelike.
Did you ever get to a point where everybody just had to stop and take a breather, or just something got too heavy to where, other than the gentleman you were talking about?
I'll let Berto answer this one. Yeah, there's a scene that I do as Hash where I'm supposed to have like a real deep like breakdown, and everything else in the film was fine, but like I kept getting nervous about this scene because I had to trash this hotel basically, and like I had to actually let loose of like of anger and stuff that I've actually felt. So that scene is like I remember one night we were trying to shoot it and we shot it, and Matt tells me, oh, we got to shoot it again. And I told him, it's like, dude, like I literally don't know if I could do it again right now. Like, give me like a few minutes, but I just can't, I got to take a minute. I got to take a breather for this scene. And I really wanted to give it my all for that scene, because I realized like that was a real crucial part of this character's story. So I wanted to make sure I gave it my all, and I gave it my all.
Which he really did. His performance in this thing is completely outstanding.
Oh, that does sound brutal as hell. I don't know if I could do that kind of stuff, man. I was reading also on the internet, you guys are signing movie posters for fans that want them?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be, it's something right now that we're doing. I can't really say it's an experimental stage. On our website, drugofchoice.co, it's cheaper without .com. It's cheaper without the M, so it's just .co. But anyway, so at drugofchoice.co, we are selling actually signed copies of scripts and signed copies of the posters.
Wow.
Now, unfortunately, our main actor, Berto, here right now, he's going to be moving to Yosemite.
Ooh.
Which is great for him, great for the atmosphere and neat writing, music, and all that stuff. But it sucks because we might not be able to have him sign it. But every once in a while, he'll be coming back down here to the valley, and we'll be able to have him sign both posters at once for those out there who want one.
Nice, man. That's really cool that you guys are doing that. And these scripts, do you just mass print them, or do you print them by yourself?
Yeah, they're all actually printed on by myself. So the scripts are all printed off my, you know, little HP printer, you know, connected to my laptop, and then basically the posters are printed for Walmart. I know. It's like a little TV. It's actually pretty high quality, but it's fine, you know.
Hey man, do it yourself kind of thing. That's what I'm interested in. I mean,
Exactly. And I mean, with the whole thing, absolute $0 budget. Absolutely, everybody did this voluntarily. You know, we're doing this as cheap as possible. And I mean, even with the posters, they cost $6 to make, and we charge $7.50 for a poster. We're not looking to make any profit at all. That extra $7.50 is accounting for shipping. You know, We're not even making a lick of profit at all. And then even when the film was going to be done, our goal for this project, not only to win a couple film festivals, but also to send this project off to multiple rehabilitation centers around the country free.
Nice. That's great to hear, man. I really like hearing that. I just interviewed a band last night, later on in the evening, that they were talking about their philanthropy and the nonprofits that they work with. So that's really cool to hear that you guys are doing that, man.
Yeah. We're doing that all through Champions Recovery in Kings County.
So you said that most of the actors, they had habits beforehand, they're recovering and things like that.
Yeah, they did.
Did you have to do a special kind of dealing with them when consulting with them? Did they put a stop to the things that you had to ask or anything like that?
You know, luckily, everybody was really compliant with what we needed. And I didn't just tell them, hey, you got to do this. And I didn't make them any way out of their comfort zone at all. But I did completely respect what they were going through. And that's why I accommodated to absolutely all of them. Whether they couldn't be in the same room or either I even had to change up scenes to accommodate some of you.
Nice. All right, man. The reason I found you, or the way I found you, was a band by the name of Low Crawl.
They
posted your information, and I thought, you know, let's give it a chance, see if I can interview this guy. I've known Low Crawl since 2006. I consider those guys some of my greatest friends in the music realm. And I just wanted to ask you, one of the biggest questions was, how'd you find them? What led you to the decision to use their music on your soundtrack? And if there are any other local bands or anything else on the soundtrack?
I have a composer that lives in Australia, so he did most of the soundtrack for the film. Low Crawl, awesome, awesome band. I'm so glad that I actually found, you know, them. How I came across them was I held a competition on the Facebook page of Track of Choice, and I just posted this picture of like a rock hand signal, you know, with a guitar in it or whatever, and I said, competition. Let me hear you guys' music, because it's all about, you know, helping community too. I mean, why not help some local talent out there also?
Exactly.
And hopefully,
man,
if this gets some exposure, then they're going to get some exposure too, you know.
Yeah.
You know, for completely free. So they submitted their song. Completely forgot what it was called. It was really good though. And along with that one, I mean, probably 20 other bands, local bands, submitted their stuff also. I mean, from Visalia, Fresno, Bakersfield, Lemoore. I mean, all around, they submitted their own project. And immediately, the first time I heard Low Crawl's song, I actually, I messaged them, they sent me a file, and I edited the scene that I wanted to use it as with that song before I even confirmed that I wanted to use that one. So basically, I tested it, and I actually just kept it that way. Edited the rest of the movie around it, and then I was like, you know what, it fits perfectly. So I let them know, hey, please, you know, I know you submitted it, please let me use this song, and they were awesome enough to let us use it. But it works perfectly in the scene.
Oh, that's wonderful, man. I want to thank you from the local musician standpoint. That's really cool that you did that, man. That's amazing. And that's... it sounds just like them that they would do something like that. So I'm really excited that they got that opportunity.
Yeah.
So actually, I'm gonna take a break right here and cut this. All right. So how you guys feeling? You guys enjoying this? Feedback level?
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, very cool. Very first time thing.
Oh well, thank you guys. I appreciate it, man. I really do. So is there anything? Go ahead.
What was the band's name that you interviewed last week?
They're called Heavyfoot.
I don't know them. You don't know them?
No.
Berto here is, you know, in the local music industry kind of too, so he knows a lot of.
Not in the industry. It's, I know like some local artists. I know like He Cried Wolf came to Hanford a few nights ago with a bunch of other bands that were playing. And some of them were my friends, like Create the Compass. Benson was playing.
I've been trying to get all. I've been trying to contact all of those bands to do this.
Really?
Yeah, I went on a forum on Facebook and I was like, just who's working now? Because my last show was in 2012,
mm-hmm.
So I had no idea. I've only kept up on the ones that I know, and you know, there's I sent out 50 messages that first night I sent that message. So, I'm still waiting on like 39 of those bands to contact me back.
I think I know one person in Compose the Compass. I know a few people in Benson. People, I don't really know them that. I don't know them at all, but I just knew they were in town. But I know Benson and Create the Compass are some of my friends. So if you like, I could probably give you some information on how to like maybe get a hold of them.
Well, anything that helps, man. I mean, I'm like you guys. I'm doing this for free. I'm just trying to, you know, have a little bit of fun. I love talking about music, but when the movie came up that you guys are doing, I had to jump on that. I just, you know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, man. Thank you for that.
Hey, man, it's all art. I mean, we all have to stick together, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, also, too, quick question. How are we going to be able to, because what I'm doing, too, is collecting all these file formats like news and radio and even, you know, I mean, now I could add podcasts to the list and combine them all through a video.
Yeah.
That way when we start a crowdfunding campaign, you know, that we could see we're getting some exposure. How would it be possible I could get a copy of this?
Actually, what I can do is I'm going to do the post-production because all of this, since I said break, was actually supposed to be like break. So I'll just do post-production and I can send you the file directly. Hopefully it's not too big. But my goal is to get 11 before I actually send this out because I want to have a huge first week. I want to put out like 5 of them at once and then one for each day of the rest of the week.
Good that we have some beforehand.
Yeah, so I kind of want to have a collection of what I'm doing and then work on, you know, like a weekly based kind of show thing. So,
yeah.
I'm wanting to get everything done, and have a April release.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
Yeah. I only took a month and researched all this, got everything done. I mean, I have a home studio, so it wasn't too hard to get all the equipment.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. So,
maybe Bertle here can record some tracks.
As soon as I get everything done for guys, I can do that. I might be able to get maybe a transcript if that'll help you. It's really up to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I need a transcript. Well, whenever, I mean, I'm not in a big rush about it. It'll all be after the premiere, so whenever you release this, the file, that would be fine.
All right, man, will do. Well, I'm going to bring us back in, and I'm actually going to see if you can talk about your other films, because you had a list of what I believe is like 6 or 7 of them.
Yeah, I do.
I was actually really interested because the homeless in Hanford, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that one right there is one of them that got my attention. So if we could do that, that'd be great, man. All right.
Perfect, yeah.
All right, brother. Counting you in. All right, and we're back. So, Matt, can you explain any of your other films? I'd really, really like to hear about any of them that took a little bit of your time. Any that have personal dealings with you, that'd be really good to hear.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll start off with the my very first film. My very first film was a documentary that I released called Homeless in Hanford. It was based on a homeless man living in Hanford. and that one was also pretty brutal. The original concept of what I wanted to do with that film was actually live homeless. I mean, I was 16 at the time, so mama didn't let me do that. But that was the original concept. I wanted to live out there homeless with this gentleman that I knew and just really record day to day. I mean, yeah, that's how I was. I mean, I wanted to go full in with it. So couldn't do that. But so what we did was just interviewed him on a day to day while we were filming this thing. A lot of things happened. Their whole camp got ransacked by police. All their personal belongings got thrown in the trash. They actually got tossed out of there. Like, they were removed from that location to way across town. I caught up with a gentleman named his name is Chris. He was found. I mean, like 20. I mean, not even 20 miles. I mean that far out of town. And jeez, so catching up with him. Yeah, I mean, no bike or anything. Walking this whole time.
That's terrible.
So I caught up with him, seeing how everything with he was doing. I mean, everything was just declining faster and faster with him. I mean, not only for being an alcoholic, you know, so he needs to drink to not get, you know, what is it called? To not get, like, the shakes and all that stuff, you know, withdrawals.
Oh, yeah.
So he needs to constantly drink in order to actually stay alive, you know. And so on top of that, after the film was released, it was a while later, less than a month, he got picked up on past warrants. The documentary came out, released his location that he was in Hanford, because he was originally from Fresno.
Yeah.
Released his information, and so police picked him up and took him to jail. Okay, now, we find out in the beginning of the film that he has stomach cancer, he has ulcers, I mean, he's vomiting blood all the time. I mean, just horrible, horrible stuff. I mean, sleeping out in the rain. He has two dogs with him. One of the dogs got hit by a car. I mean, it was just horrible, horrible stuff happening to him, all in the span of just filming this documentary. And so afterwards, after the documentary came out, police picked him up, took him, you know, to jail. Because the documentary, it gained momentum and a lot of people seen it. I think now, I think 11,000 people have seen it so far.
11,000?
Yeah, so nice. Pretty much all of Hanford.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And so after that, I mean, he was in jail. He got the medical attention that he needed. He is basically completely healed. He's not an alcoholic anymore, and he's no longer homeless. So after being released out of jail, no longer alcoholic, no longer all this stuff. Now he's now actually living in Fresno, warrant, all that forgiven. You know, he served his time, and that's all completely fine now. So he's no longer homeless, living in Fresno. It's awesome.
That is amazing to hear, man. Congratulations. You don't get to do that kind of thing all every day. So, yeah. That's incredible to hear. Do you have any others that you you hold dear? I believe there's a list of six or seven.
That was my second one, which I did a little later. This one was originally a feature film. It was about 60 minutes, and then after rough editing, I cut it out to about 45, maybe 30 minutes. That one was a horror film called Embrace. And I basically, it was a film where two teenagers, along with their neighbor, travel to a remote location in Cambria. So basically how this whole story starts out is the sun basically dies. Like, the sun goes out, darkness. So can you imagine filming that, like, all at night? Huh. It's completely darkness. Things are going just crazy. And so the main character, which is Sean Hogue, I myself was an actor in the film. I was just the guy behind the camera. It was one of those found footage type, you know, back when those were popular.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I was the main person behind the camera. And then we had another actress by the name of Trey Michaels. She came down from like Anaheim area up there or down there. Nice. Yeah. So she's an actual like actress too. So she came down from LA to film this thing. So after that, we filmed a little bit in Hanford. And then we shoot over to Cambria. Now in Cambria, really good friends of mine over there, family friends of mine, they own a big house. So we got to film at their house.
Oh,
you know, which
great.
Is awesome, yeah. And so we got to film there. Things started now. Check this out. I wrote the script in about 2 months. Okay, so it was rough editing. We cut back and forth, you know, editing and all that. All
right.
And then we get up there, and then because there's supposed to be a lot more actors. Actors were supposed to meet us there. They've Cambria already or whatever. They all basically dropped out.
What?
So we had this. Yeah. So we had this script. We had 3 people out of like 10 people, and we were only there for I think 3 nights or 4 nights. Like, what are we gonna do? And mind you, we only film at night, so I mean, we're not staying up till 3 in the morning. It's from like 6 to 10. You know what I mean? So we basically in that one night read the entire script. And luckily got it completely done. And as soon as that one came out, it actually kind of blew up too. I can't say it blew up. I mean, we sold DVDs for, I think, $5 each, and we sold over 100.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, so with the, I'm going to take that gas, you know?
Yeah.
But after that, I mean, it was great. It blew up, you know? And it was after that that I kind of worked on short films for the majority. I did a little film called Newborn, which was a suicide prevention film with one of my old times, Michael Stepp. He was playing, and it's funny too, on one of the scenes, he's walking on a train track. So it's like, I kind of used that just like for the choice, but anyway. So it's one of those suicide prevention films. And we entered that into a COS film competition, and I won that one. I won that competition first place.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So that one's, I mean, these are all on YouTube also, completely all on YouTube under Mosquito Productions. I mean, you could type Mosquito Productions, or you can even use under my old personal account, you could look up Homeless in Hanford and then find that documentary also. But it was after that, then I created a short film again. I mean, by short films, I mean, these were all under 5 minutes, under 3 minutes.
Wow.
And then another one, yeah. I mean, I was just using a new camera and just testing the waters and
how long does it take you?
My craft.
How long does it take you to film a short film like that?
You know, it takes a half an hour to film a 30-minute film. It takes, you know, it takes over a year to film a 30-minute film.
Wow.
I mean, man, I can't even say. I mean, it depends on really what the film's about. If it's extremely simple and it's just like probably a conversation between two people and then whatever, you know, then very, very quick. You just film it really quick, edit it, and then release. Now, if it's more complex and you have a lot of actors to deal with and a lot of locations, times of day, all that, you need to account for it. So especially with Drug of Choice, that was a huge problem. And again, it was my first issue, first one of its kind. I had people, you know, working that lived in Fresno, people that lived in Visalia, and I needed to accommodate around them also while going to school and working myself. So scheduling was such a huge conflict, so that goes into it too. And then editing, I edit everything myself, you know, for the time being. And that was all also, you know, included, you know, can only do that when I'm not at work and not at school, you know?
Yeah.
So it really depends. It really depends. If you have a lot of time on your hands, I mean, you could probably, I mean, they have contests out there called the 48-hour film competition, I think that's what it's called. And it's people who need to write, shoot, edit, and release their film in less than 48 hours. So those are those types of competitions out there. Again, you're working with a crew constantly, 24, 48 hours constantly to get that done,
right.
You know. But yeah, it just really depends. I mean, for me, probably every short film, maybe a week.
Wow.
A week. It depends if it's very simple, though. It has to. I mean, that's all the ones that I've done are ones that were very simple. I mean, Drug of Choice so far has been the one that has taken the longest to do.
Well, you spoke about you editing everything. What equipment do you use for getting all this down and editing and everything like that?
I have a little HP laptop I got from Costco like a year ago. And so that one's still working, you know, perfectly. I need to build my own desktop, you know, as soon as I get the money. But as soon as that is, yeah. But I've just been working on this laptop. And the programs that I use, I have Adobe Creative Cloud. So use Adobe Premiere, you know, put all the footage in there, cut it, you know, all that. Thank God it's all computer digital now. I don't think I could have ever did this stuff if it was actual film.
Yeah, you know? No. Not even a little man.
yeah. I don't think it would be worth it. Well, I mean, if I have a passion, I would have probably found a way to do it, but thank God we live in this era, you know?
Hey, man, it's the same with music. I couldn't afford that tape to record, man. That's outrageous.
That is.
So, what actually got you into filming and the documentary style and everything like this?
You know, it's so interesting because I think I was born with it. You know, as Lady Gaga says, even when I was an infant, I would be sitting in front of the TV and I would watch movies on repeat. And they weren't like Disney films or you know, any cartoon films. I hated cartoon films. I hated musicals. I still hate musicals. You know, I'm watching a movie. I don't want to put singing. You know, that's a separate thing. You know, I don't want them combined. But anyway, but it's just I've always constantly been in this thing to where I just constantly loved it,
well,
and I've just always been about it. And yeah. I've always been a storyteller. You know.
Yeah.
So it progressed. For the screenwriting thing, I mean, I remember being in early elementary school and getting our first laptop, and Microsoft Word was on it. You know, Microsoft Word, what, 2003 or something?
Yeah.
And I was writing a story, and that originally was called Envision. And I just kept with that same story for over 5 years, and I think it was recently in, I believe, 2009, I think, whenever Casey Anthony, that trial with Casey Anthony was happening, as soon as she was found innocent, that was actually the day that I finished the script. It progressed from original story to all the way into a script. So it was interesting seeing, like, and I still have the very first copy of it that I ever wrote.
Nice.
So it's so interesting because I don't really know why. I don't even know what happened. It just progressed on its own.
And
always been there.
Do you have education in this? Did you go to school for filming or editing or anything like that?
No, I just did a lot of research on YouTube. That's really it.
Yeah.
Well, followed. I mean, you know, that's what we can afford.
Yeah, exactly, man.
But I mean, that's fine too. I mean, I do want to go to a film school. Really just for getting connections. And I mean, sure, for learning it too. I mean, there's always room to learn, but I do want to make a lot of connections. And I think that's really mostly what the school is for.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a really hands-on learning person too. Of course, this is what I'm learning this stuff by making all these short films and all that, you know. But there's all that for making connections. And even these people that I follow on YouTube, their name is Film. They always say, you know, they always answer questions, do you need film school? And the answer is really, you don't need it, you know, because all that knowledge and everything is free on YouTube, you know, over the internet.
Well, it's the same thing with music right now. I mean, I've learned so much from YouTube, it's not even funny. And I've never gone to music school. I've learned the basics, but I've never gone to music school. That'd just be a waste of money right now. So
absolutely, I
completely understand. So, what are your main inspirations for your just being a writer in general? Do you like Stephen King or anything like that, or is it actually film writers that you as
It's so interesting because well, two of my favorite films are Avatar and Titanic. So I can't really say, you know, I can't really say James Cameron is like my idol. You know what I mean? I like his films, but when I can't think of anyone that's an inspiration to me or anything. I mean, I look at the film itself, you know, and I know it's bad. It's so weird that I don't really look at who's the director of it or who's the writer of it or anything like that. I just see good projects. Let me learn from what they've done, you know, and what I think is really good about it and apply it to myself. So I can't really, I don't really have a person that I look after or that I follow a lot, you know?
Yeah, I got you, man. You said Titanic. Is there a reason, is there a specific reason why that film is one of your favorites?
That was one of the films that when I was younger, I would watch on repeat for some reason. Like I said, too, I didn't watch cartoons. I watched like grown up movies like that.
That movie.
I don't know if that.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just saying, I don't know if that's just what was around. I just didn't like any of those other movies. I just wanted to see these grown up movies.
It's funny you say that because I used to watch Titanic on repeat too. But it was
really
it wasn't because of the acting or anything. It was actually more because of the story of Titanic. I was enamored by that story. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I even know like every year, April 14th, 1912. I was the only person like in my entire family that said, "Guys, guess what? Today's the 100th anniversary of like back in 2012."
Yeah,
nobody knew that.
Yeah, I used to tell my mom, I was so happy, it's kind of morbid, but I was so happy on 2012, because it was the 100-year anniversary of Titanic, and I was like, this is amazing! Like, this is part of history, guys! And they're like, you're an idiot.
Exactly. It's such a cool, and that's, I mean, now looking at it, too, I mean, not to put anything down, but I mean, the acting's okay. The script writing, though, like the lines and everything, God, it was horrible, you know? Looking at it now, I mean, it's so cheesy, you know? It was so, so cheesy.
So, as a filmmaker, do you have a problem with the whole door scene at the end?
I mean, she was so stubborn. She could, come on, he could have lived. I like that picture. You ever see that picture on, like, Facebook going around where it says, like, global warming, and then it says Leonardo DiCaprio sticking his head out of the water, like, saying Rose?
Yeah.
The question mark? But anyway. But, I mean, didn't Mythbusters do something where they said a second person could have gotten on there?
I think they might have, man. I'm pretty sure they could prove that anyways. I mean, it's physics.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's algebra.
Algebra. It's something, geometry or something like that. But, I mean, I think even James Cameron said, someone could have fell on the door too, but it was symbolism or something. I don't know what. I'm sure if I were to study it, I could figure it out, but I don't. It was interesting. It was good storytelling. Don't get me wrong. It was amazing storytelling.
Yeah, the thing that got me, that actually made me, really enjoy that film was the beginning where they showed the Titanic, the real live Titanic in the bottom of the ocean. For some reason, every time I see pictures or video of that, it's just so hauntingly beautiful to me. I don't understand it, but it's that way. I'm just in awe of how amazing that the look of it is.
And it's going to be really unfortunate when, all the erosion takes place and that thing will just be completely eroded away. There'll be no trace of it anymore, and I'm sure that will happen within the next, 50 years?
Yeah, it's got to be soon, man.
It's already completely just demolished, completely falling apart. So.
Yeah, I completely understand that, and that sucks.
I know.
So, what about Avatar? What gets you about that movie?
Oh, my God. I will never forget the date. I saw January 24th. No, sorry. December 24th and then December 26th. that's how vivid I remember it. 2009. I mean, it was just the first time seeing that. And, I mean, that was the first thing of its time. That was I mean, technology pushed beyond its limits for that time.
Did you see it in 3D and that whole spiel and all that?
I did. Yeah. And I mean, it was just completely revolutionary. I mean, that's like the Apple of phones. That's the Avatar movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. Are you looking forward to the second one, or are you apprehensive about like deteriorating the
Man, I just cannot believe it's taking so long. They keep pushing it back year after year, you know? Now, they really do, though. They need to, and I hate sounding like this because it makes me sound like I'm like the best filmmaker ever, which I'm not, but they really do need to just be unique with it, because there's a lot of films out there, you know, and sequels, honestly, they don't do good all the time, you know?
Yeah,
Toy Story 3 was the sequel of like a lifetime. That film just took off. I think that made more than both movies, both the first ones combined.
Really?
You know? Yeah, wow, I think that one was
I mean, tragedy. There's a part in there that makes any grown man cry. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, yeah. I mean, and I admit it. See, I cried in movies. Totally. You know? I admit it. It's a unique feeling, you know, when you know something is just a movie, you know it's not real, and it just alters you in such a way. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's what I strive for, too. That's entirely what I strive for. Just altering emotion.
Yeah, that's the thing. With any art, really, I mean, for me, music, I mean, if I'm eliciting an emotion in somebody, that's what I'm doing. My work is doing what it's supposed to.
Yeah, yeah. I know these guys really, really well. They're based out of the UK. Their name is Tesseract. Followed them for years and years. They worked on a album recently, the newest one they released, called Altered State. I mean, it's a masterpiece. I mean, when you can listen to song after song as if it's one entire, like the album is one entire song, I consider that a masterpiece.
Really?
You know, because I mean, and not a hater either of like rap music, you know, like when they release an entire album and one or two songs is the good ones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? One or two songs is the songs that they repeat constantly on B95, you know, you know, and that's it. You know, it's not art. It's manipulative.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's very rare in any music to actually find an album that you can listen start to finish and go, man, that was amazing. I want to hear it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, for me this year, or I'm sorry, 2014, I went nuts and bought every CD that came out. And there were some that I was just enamored with and completely blown away. And then there were some I thought were complete garbage.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's unfortunate considering you have a relationship, at least one-sided, with the bands and everything.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the fact that you found that, that's a testament to their talent and their ability
right
there, man.
Definitely. Have you ever heard of Devin Townsend?
Oh, thank you so very much.
You know what I'm talking about.
Dude, I went and I was having a really rough time. And I had to go to Fresno, and I went to Rasputin's, and his new CD was sitting there. And I was like, get the regular version or the deluxe version with three CDs. So I got that, right? And I put it on my phone, and I took it to work. And I was like, oh, my God, this guy is a genius. This guy is one of the greatest minds I've ever heard play music.
He's crazy. He has dabbled with, like, every form of music. He's done country, he's done rock, he's done like gospel. It's crazy.
Yeah,
he's so talented.
One of the first songs that I heard was it's like Jular or Juggler or something like that.
Yeah,
it was off of the Destruction album, I believe.
Uh-huh,
Deconstruction.
Yeah.
And I told my wife about it, and she went and got me the set of music, and it came with two CDs. It came with that CD and then the one released after it. And they're complete,
or something like that?
Yeah, they're polar opposites. And it's mind-boggling that this man can do that, and then he can go to no lyrics, you know, musical kind of dreamscape kind of deal.
Yeah,
and it's insanity.
And
yeah. I
He did this album called, I think it's called Addicted.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that a song on there is called, I think it's called Super Crush. Okay. Even the song called Addicted is really good, but man, check that one out too. Have you ever heard of Anathema or Anathema?
No, I haven't, man.
That's a really good one too. Check that one.
Have you actually heard the new set of CDs that he put out, the Z2 albums?
I did. There's a song on there like Happy Birthday, right?
No. There not that I know of.
Wait a minute, no, that's the one before. Never mind. Okay, Z2. I haven't had time to listen to it, so I have it downloaded by iTunes, but that's it.
Yeah,
I unfortunately have like a 16 gig, iPhone, so I like have everything on it.
Yeah, man, I bought a 16 gig memory card and just started loading it down, with every type of music I could get my hands on. So, yeah, I already filled up one 64 gig iPod, so I'm kind of running out of room here. But yeah, that's great that you know of Devin Townsend. There's not many people, especially like in the metal scene, that know of Devin Townsend and actually appreciate his work.
Yeah, have you ever heard of Martin Gretsch?
Martin Gretsch, no. I haven't, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, I gotta write this down. Check him out too.
Amazing
man.
All right, man. You kind of like the same music I like. Who do you listen to on a regular basis?
Who do I listen to? Actually, let me check. Someone I've been listening to actually is a local band by the name of. The Crossing.
The Crossing?
Local band. Yeah, The Crossing. They came out with an EP called True North.
Okay.
And one of their songs on there is really good. It's the True North EP. Really good song on there. It's only that come out with like four songs called Sirens on My Way Out was True North. I actually wanted to use True North in the Drug of Choice trailer. Unfortunately, it would, because they're actually deal with like a record label and all that now. They're based out of Fresno, but they had like a record label and all that now. Unfortunately, I couldn't use the song because all that. But
yeah.
I listened to that. I listened to Tool.
Okay.
I listened to Deftones.
Okay.
Carnivool. I don't know if you ever listened to them.
Carnivool.
Yeah, Carnivool. That's a really good one. It's spelled K-A-R-N-I-V-O-O-L.
Okay.
They're two first albums. There's one called Themata, which is T-H-E-M-A-T-A, and then another one called Sound 08.
Okay.
Awesome, 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 awesome. Cloud Kicker, too. I've been listening to Cloud Kicker.
That's such a great name. Feel.
Yeah, I know. Have you ever heard of Sky Harbor?
Yeah, actually, I have. I found those guys on YouTube and, fell in love with them.
Yeah, Sky Harbor is epic.
Yeah, the video I saw was just the singer singing, and I was just like, that guy is incredible.
Yeah, Devin Townsend. Yeah, he was, he originally sang on, Test Drive, the first band I mentioned.
Yeah.
He sang their first album.
Oh, nice.
He's actually back now. He's current, singer now. The other guy that was with them in the second album called Altered State, he was, I forgot his name. Ash, I think it was. Ash O'Hara?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, he's one hell of a voice, too, just as good as Devin.
All right, man. I'll check that out. I'm looking for new music all the time, so I'll check that out and see what I think, man.
The kind of music, it's so interesting. You can't call it a genre because it's not djent. It's not metal. I call it atmospheric metal.
Yeah.
You know, or ambient metal. It's interesting because they're like completely opposites, ambient and metal.
Yeah.
But it's so true because there's parts in there where like they're singing. I'm not a big fan of screaming. I'm not a big fan of like grunting and all that and the growling. But when it's atmospheric and just and what. My technical term is epic. That's exactly what I listen to.
Great technicality right there, man. So, Birdo.
Yes.
So you've been telling, or you said that you were a musician. You want to talk music for a minute?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Awesome, man. All right, firstly, what do you play?
Well, I started off in a couple of bands. My first band in high school was a band called Dream Alaska.
Okay.
And we did pretty well. Didn't go that far, but still, we had some great music. We had a bit of a fan base here in Hanford, but now what I'm doing is I'm doing an acoustic project where my project is called Just Enough. It's just me playing my acoustic guitar, and I'm writing like a bunch of like hopeless romantic stuff right now. That's all I can seem to like really get my head around to like write. But I'm trying to open my horizons more. So I've been listening to a lot of more Ed Sheeran, Passenger, along with some Citizen, Aaron West and the Roaring Twenties, a lot of pop punk influences. Trying to really, you know, just like get more towards like a pop punk acoustic kind of feel. That's like what I really want to get to.
Okay, I got it. Got it.
Yeah.
Let me start over. What instruments do you play? When you're writing, do you have like a you said acoustic, so what acoustic do you use?
The acoustic I have is a Dean acoustic. I couldn't tell you the model or the thing, but I know it's like a Starkwood Dean acoustic. But when I played in bands, I played bass. So I've also got like a bunch of like some bass, like some Fender P basses. Got acoustic BH-200 head and a GK cab, gold line. Yeah, but I also have an acoustic bass, which, playing her is just so beautiful. It's a Fender Kingman bass. And, I was in an acoustic group with with a few friends of mine called Frog of Culture, where I got to play nothing but the acoustic bass, and we had some really good music. The project was called Frog of Culture.
Okay.
And that was really fun. That was the last project I was ever in. So that's where like my acoustic project ideas came up to do that. But my Dean acoustic with like electric strings, and then my Fender Kingman bass. That's most of the equipment I'm using right now.
That's good to hear, man. Are you recording by yourself, or how's that working?
I recorded by myself. Like if anyone were to look me up on YouTube, just look up Just Enough.
Okay.
Hopefully the videos would hopefully pop up, or I would just say put my name in Berto Vallejo and my channel will pop up and the videos will be right there. But I recorded 3 songs via webcam, and then like 2 open word poetries via webcam. I have like recording software and everything, but recording myself was a little too difficult for me. Like I've got the microphone and everything, but I don't necessarily know what I'm doing with the program and how to make everything sound equal and balanced, and you know how I should go about recording everything with only one mic.
Yeah.
So, I have, since I'm moving up to Yosemite, I have a buddy of mine who has like recording software there and stuff. So I'm hoping, once I get up there and I start working on my music, he'll help me out, and I can help him out by, you know, him recording me, and I can promote his recording, and, you know, I can promote my music at the same time. So hopefully it's like a kill 2 birds with 1 stone situation.
Well, that's cool to hear, man. Again, you guys are helping out, you know, other people, and that's really, really great of you guys, man.
Oh, yeah. I personally really believe, like, in a music community. Kind of thing.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, when I was in bands, we all stuck together. I met a bunch of guys from Fresno. I'm still friends with them. I consider them friends still to this day. So
it's a really cool feeling to like, you know, like be friends with bands that you've like played with and like share experiences or, you know, crazy stories with.
Yeah, it's kind of like going through battle, you know.
Yeah.
Call of Duty battle, exactly. But you know, it's still you've been through the ringer together, and I mean, a bunch of the guys that I know have, and it's really cool. Not a lot of people say that we can do the things, or that we did the things that we did. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely you know, you can only talk about if you've experienced it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't mean to brag. But friends of mine and I, we opened up for Five Finger Death Punch before they ever got signed.
What?
Yeah, they came to Fresno twice before they were signed. And one time, the second time, we got to open for them. And so me and a couple of the bands that I knew, we got to share that. And every time we get together, we talk about that, man. I mean, it's amazing.
That's like an amazing experience. Like, that's something that you just, that's something I would never stop talking about. It's like, I opened up a Five Finger Death Punch. Like,
yeah, it's something that is really cool. It's a testament. I mean, we put in the work and we went at it together. And I mean, we got to open for one of my favorite bands. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
I personally would love to have that experience of like having my acoustic music and then having Citizen want me, like, you know, to go on tour with them, or having the Wonder Years, you know, Danny Stupy Campbell being West in the Roaring Twenties, you know, say like, hey, like, I want Just Enough on the bill with us. Like, I want him to follow us around, or, you know, to be on tour with us and spread his music and stuff, you know?
Hey, man, you got to start somewhere, and I mean, if that's the dream, then, I mean, go for it, man. I'm rooting for you.
Yeah, man, like, this, like, doing music is all I've ever wanted to do. I mean, I love doing this project, you know, with Matt, and I'm more than willing to do, like, any other project he's got in store. but music is always, like, the one thing that's personally, like, been the main thing of my life, you know? Music has been the one thing that's kept me going.
Yeah, music kept me out of trouble and saved my life multiple times, man. I mean, I'm right there with you. Yeah, I want to do something in music. It doesn't matter what, as long as I'm there, you know? I get to do it.
Well, I'd say you're doing a great job. I mean, you know, you got this podcast going on. You're, you know, helping support local music. I'd say you're doing something really great for us, something great for the music community to help keep it alive.
Well, man, I thank you, and I really do appreciate that. I mean, it started out as an idea, like kind of like a what if kind of deal. And, you know, the more I talked about it, the more people started enjoying it. And for the first time in my life, I was like, somebody likes it, so I will do it. So, yeah. So, yeah, I got together, and like I said, you know, the rest is history. And it's been really fun. I mean, I'm having a blast doing this, man.
I'm glad, man. It sounds really fun. It is pretty fun being on here, too.
Well, I thank you, man. It's very, very cool of you to be here. So, it's about an hour now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm cutting this right before that.
Nah, don't worry about it.
But it's almost an hour now. Do you guys want to talk about anything else, or do you want to wrap up, or how do you guys want to do this? It's up to you guys. I got the rest of the night.
Well, I just want to say thank you for everybody for, you know, checking out Drug of Choice, or if you haven't checked it out, for, you know, listening to this podcast and, you know, hearing us talk about the film and, you know, talk about our lives and our interests and our music taste and everything.
Thank you guys so, so much.
If anyone's interested in my project, Just Enough, please find me on Facebook. It's Just
Bam
Enough.
Bam, guys. Bam.
It's Just Enough. Like my page. I'm going to try to keep posting up while I'm in Yosemite, try to keep working on music, try to keep everyone updated. Matt?
And then again, I mean, just with the Facebook page of the film, go like it. I mean, just search up Drug of Choice. The main poster of the film is a picture of a tree with a skull, and it says choice on it. So basically, with just that, like the page, check out the website, drugofchoice.co, and just stay updated, man. We're gonna blow up. We're gonna shoot this thing all around the country.
All right, man. Well, thank you guys very much for having, or for being here. It's been
a blast.
Thank you
so much for having me.
Thank you.
Hey, man. Like I said, it's been a blast, and you guys have been really great dealing with my craziness. Thank you very much. All right, guys. That was amazing. I'm super excited to see Drug of Choice and what it has to offer. I'm also excited to see what happens with these guys. They aren't just stopping with the Central Valley. They really are going to film festivals. They're taking their movie out and letting people experience this. I hope they go to these festivals. I hope they dominate these festivals and win every award that the festivals have to offer. They truly deserve this, and I'm rooting for you guys. I truly am. Good luck. Remember to comment, rate, subscribe, and add the Local Music Revolution at thelocalmusicrevolution.bandcamp.com and at facebook.com/thelocalmusicrevolution. If you are a band, an artist, a director, an actor, or a fan of a band, an artist, a director, or an actor, please contact me at thelocalmusicrevolution@gmail.com. I will see what I can do about getting you on the show and talking to you about your art, about your experience, about your drive, and what gets you artistic. Thank you very much for your support. Remember that I do read all the comments, emails, and messages. I do try to reply to all of them. Until next time, I am Ogre. This has been the Local Music Revolution. Be good, everyone.